What's good? What's good? I'm back. Paul Pickett, owner of Promo Palace LLC. This is vlog 41. It's going to be my top 10 hip-hop albums. So it's going to be a nice little long vlog. I'm not really going to get into marketing and promotions on this one. Don't forget my vlogs, sponsored by Promo Palace LLC, of course, at promopalace.biz. You need online and marketing promotions for your brand, your product, or your music. Check us out, promopalace.biz. Also, if you're a dog lover, a cat lover, animal rights activist, and you like t-shirts, hoodies, check out New Litter Apparel at newlitter.com. Also got to give shouts out to the Dizzle. Check them out. You got dizzlebrand.com, Dizzle on Ice, dizzlebrand.com. Check them out. Follow them on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and more. Don't forget the audio version of my vlog also goes to my podcast, the Paul Pickett Podcast. You can Google that, Paul Pickett Podcast, PaulPickett Podcast. It also is available on Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Odyssey, CastBox, Deezer, iHeartPlayer, FM, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, TuneIn, Stitcher, and more. Top 10 hip-hop albums. Just to give y'all a little context, I'm 42 years old, born 1979. Was born in Fayetteville, North Carolina, home of J. Cole and Murray. Also, a black sheep, went to college at and whatnot, Fayetteville State University. I really didn't get to hip-hop till probably like, I want to say 88, 89. Like, I originally listened to rock and roll first. The first hip-hop song I ever heard, I think, was LL Cool J. And I heard that in Panama, because I lived in Panama for a couple years. When you live in Panama, you're going to be deprived of anything of American genres of music. You know, anything American, you're pretty much deprived of, except movies. First movie I seen was in Panama, and it was Nightmare on Elm Street. All right? So I saw an LL Cool J song or music video, but it didn't really get me into hip-hop. It wasn't until I was a kid in elementary, Mary MacArthur Elementary, I was listening to rock and roll, stuff like Motley Crue, Def Leppard, White Line, Guns N' Roses, you know, and then I heard Heavy D. We got our own thing. And for me, I was hooked and I was into hip-hop. Because I was even like... watch movies like with the Fat Boys, Disorderlies. I was a big fan of Disorderlies and Fat Boys, but it never made me a fanatic of hip hop. Heavy D was the first artist to make me a fanatic of hip hop. And Heavy D was a great artist to make a lot of white Americans listen to rock and roll. Young white Americans in elementary listen to rock and roll, fans of hip hop. You know, it wasn't always going to be like these super gangster, hardcore street dudes, even though I prefer hardcore hip-hop than anything nowadays. It wasn't a hardcore hip-hop artist that was necessarily going to get me into hip-hop. It was Heavy D, an entertainer, you know? So let me get my top 10 hip-hop albums, and this is in no specific order for the first eight. No specific order for the first eight. Last two are my top two. But we're going to start with Jay-Z, Blueprint. I got the track list pulled up here. This is the album that pretty much, we don't know where Nas's career would be at to this day if it wasn't for the Blueprint album. Jay-Z calling him out all over this album. Nas, like a couple albums before Stillmatic, wasn't really all that hot. I know you got Nas fans that say every Nas album's a classic, but I beg to differ and disagree with you on that. You know, we could debate that. You know, because we'll go down every Nas album there is, and if I start skipping a bunch of songs, that's it. No classic album as far as I'm concerned. But Jay-Z, Blueprint, I mean, I don't know that there was really a song that you skipped on this joint. You had The Ruler's Back, Izzo, H to the Izzo, Hola Javito, Never Change, All I Need, Blueprint, Girls, 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 Part 2, Take Over, Girls, 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 Original, Heart of the City, You Don't Know, Song Cry, Renegade, Big Record, Jay-Z and Eminem. I mean, there was just so much. And there was hardly no features on here whatsoever. That's another thing. There was no features. It was just Jay-Z. And Jay-Z's always been a cat that hasn't really needed features. He could hold down the whole album by himself, you know? And it would only be right that his artist, J. Cole, was one of the first artists in years to go platinum with no features, you know? Because a real great artist, a great artist can hold down the album with no features. Rakim's 18th Letter, which we're going to get to. No features, you know? So Jay-Z, Blueprint, it's in my top 10, man. I mean, nothing but bangers. Didn't really need features. Great production. Jay-Z gives you a little bit of everything. You know, a little bit of mainstream, underground, boom bap. Whatever you want, Jay-Z's going to give it to you. You know? Okay. My next one. We got Wu-Tang. Welcome to the 36 Chambers. Wu-Tang, 36 Chambers, man. I mean, what more can I say, man? Like, I remember the first time hearing this album, we was playing basketball in the backyard of my house at Gallup Acres. I had a golden back, and everybody in the neighborhood would come play ball in my backyard, and my mom hated it. And that was the first time I heard Wu-Tang, man. It was like, there wasn't a song in there you skipped, man. And the production was so original. It was so new. It was so different. It was like nothing you ever heard. You had just so many artists. So you had, when you looked at the top artists of Wu-Tang, like the main seven, you had at least four or five guys that were just legendary, hold down their own weight. You know, I'm not a big fan of all the members of Wu-Tang, but, you know, Spending Deck was my favorite. Method Man is extremely talented, great artist. Ghostface is probably the most consistent solo artist of them all with all his albums. Raekwon is Raekwon. And the GZA, you know? And I'm not too big on the RZA as a rapper, but as a producer, I mean, he did his thing. You know what I'm saying? But you literally had five legit, like, could hold their own, stand on their own, do an album with no features, artists in one group. I mean, we usually put five artists in a group. You got a group of five artists. There's some weak links in there, man. There was some weak links in there. You didn't really get to the weak links until you got down to six and seven, until you got down to, and Capadonna was technically the original member, you know what I'm saying, but he got locked up. Oh, and I forgot about Old Dirty, a straight superstar, man. Straight superstar. They had no more superstars, man. That was the dream team. Wu-Tang Clan is like the dream team, man. It's like Jordan, Barkley, you know, Bird, Magic, Malone, Stockton, whatever. That's like the dream team, man. Because you go to some groups, it's like I always say, when you go to groups like Naughty by Nature, Vin Diesel knows, man, there's levels to it. You ain't, Tretch is the hierarchy, and you're beneath him, man. You cats like Vin know that you just play a role, man, and they're happy with that role. They're not trying to exceed that role and think they're better than that role, and they need more shine out of that role. They know that, you know, same thing with Lost Boys. It was Mr. Cheeks and then everybody else. Everybody knows it's Mr. Cheeks, then everybody else, you know. The Roots, man, it's Black Thought. And, you know, Roots has got a lot of other members, but even the other members of the Roots, they understand there's levels to this. And they're not trying to, you know, mess with the levels. They're cool with the levels. They're cool with their role, you know. And that's what groups go good, when everybody knows their role. Everybody can't be, you know, Flip Mode. It can't be Busta Rhymes, man. Anybody that Flip Mode that thought they was at the same level of Busta Rhymes, man, you're delusional. You're dumber than a bag of bricks. You know? Wu-Tang, 36 Chambers, man. It was Dream Team. I mean, you got Bring the Ruckus, Clan in the front. Can It Be All So Simple? Wu-Tang Ain't Nothing to Fuck With. Method Man, which they literally gave Method Man a solo record single on the album. And that's how you know cats that truly get it. They truly understand, like, okay, this Method Man cat, he's a little bit, right now, he's the cat that's going to get us there. He's going to get us in the door, put him out there. Raekwon said it himself. Let this pretty cat get out there and do his dance. All the girls love him, do his thing. They didn't mind that. They didn't mind that. And that's cats that just put, finally realized we got to put egos aside, you know. And if you ain't willing to put egos aside when you got groups, it usually doesn't go well. Some cats weren't willing to put their egos aside, as far as I'm concerned. All right, so right now we got Jay-Z, Blueprint, and Wu-Tang 36 Chambers in my top 10. Biggie Smalls, man, Life After Death, man. Life After Death. I mean, like, I know a lot of it, you know, some of this album was put together after he died. I don't care who we put it together after he died, what records were recorded before he died. This is a great album. Biggie is one of the greatest artists we ever seen. He's the first artist that I seen that was able to go hardcore hip hop and mainstream. You had cats that were underground hip hop and mainstream. But there's a difference just being underground hip-hop and hardcore hip-hop. There's a lot of plenty cats in the underground that ain't hardcore hip-hop. So he was the first cat I seen that was hardcore hip-hop but could go mainstream. And Jay-Z followed this motto. Fat Joe has followed this motto to this day. Big Pun followed the motto. See, people say Fat Joe learned it for Pun. But Big did it first. Pun learned it for Big. And then, so at the end of the day, they all learned it for Big. Because Big was the first dude to go hardcore hip-hop and go mainstream records, man. Mainstream hip-hop records, man. And you know, whether... And this is what they always said. I've always said about hip-hop artists that put themselves in a box. You can find commercial mainstream records that still make you feel comfortable at the end of the day, that is still dope at the end of the day when you finish it. Styles P wasn't comfortable doing a Locked Up record, but as a fan, I think a lot of fans love the record. We love the record. You know, I didn't like the record because of Akon's hook. Akon's hook had nothing to do with it. It was Styles P's verse and the beat. The beat and Styles P's verse. So as long as you got the dope beat and you killing the verse, you in there like swimwear. I'm not so concerned about what your hook is. It, you know, you could get off with just a scratch. You could scratch a hook. You ain't got to do it this, you know, amazing hook every time. But Life After Death, Biggie Smalls, let me pull up this track list. I mean, Notorious Big, Life After Death track list. I mean, you got Hypnotized, F You Tonight, Fuck You Tonight. That was the chick's initials I had tatted on his arm right now. That was me and her song. I Love the Dough, Big Interlude. I mean, Kick in the Door, What's Beef? More Money, More Problems. I mean, Last Day. Dope Records. Great album. Dope Records. Big was just phenomenal. I hated that he had to go so soon. You know, he didn't put out as much content as Pac. We got a lot more content for Pac. That's the thing. Pac was just recording. All due respect, man. Y'all gonna get, probably some of y'all Pac fans gonna get mad because Pac is not on my top 10 at all. None of his albums made my top 10. You know, even though my best, to me, Pac's best album is Me Against the World. But Biggie Smalls, Life After Death, top 10. Next, I got Rakim, 18th Letter. I mean, people waited for this album for so long. It was, even though Eric B. Rakim was really a solo artist when he was with Eric B. Rakim, because Eric B. was just a DJ and he produced and he didn't really rap. This was the first time Rakim was just on his own. No Eric B. You know, it was a long time before he dropped the album, and he didn't disappoint. The 18th Letter. I mean, you have Remember That, Guess Who's Back, New York, The Mystery, Who's God, and that, like, it, as much as I'm not a religious person, I don't believe in God, if anybody broke it down as good as you can break it down in a song, Rakim did it the best. It's Been a Long Time, The 18th Letter, The Saga Begins. Oh, I love that beat. I love that joint with Pete Rock, super hard beat. If Pete Rock was a cat, you could never just tell. I mean, I never know Pete Rock made that beat at first. Stay a While, Show Me Love, Where I'm From, Guess Who's Back. I mean, I wasn't big on, like, I think Show Me Love, but I can still listen to it. It's not a record that I necessarily skip. You know, I think that was a Clark Kent beat, if I'm not mistaken. But Rakim, 18th Letter, man, I mean, yeah. If I skip maybe one, I mean, that's still like 4.5-5 Mike album. You only skip one song, you know. Now, this next one is probably going to be a shocker to people. These cats aren't really super famous and big as these other names out here. But if you listen to this album from beginning to end, it's phenomenal. It's amazing, the energy, the production, and that's Nonfiction, The Future Is Now. Nonfiction, The Future Is Now is an amazing hip-hop album. Ill Bill and Gore-Tex and it's so amazing, man. I mean, the production is phenomenal. Let me pull up the track listing. I mean, it is just crazy, crazy. Nonfiction, The Future Is Now track list. I mean, Futurama. I mean, the first song, Futurama, where the sidewalks to shoot your mama. The CIA is trying to kill me. There's No Future, feature Necro. Rock Stars, Black Helicopters, Cult Leader. Suicide Bomb, featuring the Beatnuts, Drug Music. They got MF Doom on here for all you MF Doom fans. Uncle Howie. I mean, this album is phenomenal. It's phenomenal. If you don't know who Nonfiction is, I recommend you check them out. That's Nonphixion, Nonfiction. The production is phenomenal. Nothing but banging beats, nothing but bars, dope lyrics. And they was talking about these future topics, CIAs and end of the world, like stuff we're going through kind of right now with, you know, COVID and all that. Now, the next three. Next three is actually going to be all Nas albums. We're going to start with Stillmatic. Nas Stillmatic. I mean, if I got the Blueprint on there, I got to have Stillmatic, right? I can't have Blueprint in my top 10 and not have Nas Stillmatic. I mean, you know what was crazy? A lot of people said, oh, Nas killed Jay-Z when he dropped Ether. I felt like Nas killed Jay-Z with the first song, the first music video, Got Yourself a Gun with the Megahertz beat. I mean, it with the Tony Soprano sample. It was just so bold. It was bolder than anything Jay-Z was putting out. It was so bolder. Jay-Z was just dissing him on just to diss him. Nas was on some, all right, well, when I see you, I hope you got yourself a gun. You know, you got Yourself a Gun. You're the Man. You're the Man. Large Professor produced. Oh, One Mic. Oh my gosh. Destroy and Rebuild. Oh my. Jay-Z made it bad for everybody because he went in on a whole Queensbridge on Destroy Rebuild. Ether. And that's, you got Smoking. What? Chunk. Smoking. Rewind. Oh my gosh, the most amazing concept record ever to me, where he rapped the story backwards. Second Childhood, The Flies. I mean, classic. Classic. But once again, all Nas albums are not classics, so don't get it confused. Just because I got three Nas albums in my top 10 doesn't mean they're all classics. I ain't going to be that freaking stupid. So, Nas, still at it. Nas, It Was Written. I mean, I always felt like Nas was holding back on the first album. I always felt like he was holding back. I just did. I mean, I felt like the first album was like just all the smooth stuff, all the smooth shit. Illmatic was just, we're going to just put out all the smooth ass shit. We're going to sound like the second coming of Rakim, and it's going to be the smoothest shit you heard in a while. But when he got It Was Written, I mean, whew. I mean, he definitely didn't hold back. You had The Message, Street Dream. I Gave You Power. Oh, my gosh. I mean, even the first track, I mean, it was just Taking in Blood. Nas is coming. Affirmative Action. I mean, he was just like, you know, punched you in the throat now. The Setup, Black Girl Lost, Suspect. Shootouts, it brought Daylight. Live N-word rap featuring Mobb Deep, If I Rule the World with Lauryn Hill. I mean, anyone he had a few features, Mobb Deep, Lauryn Hill, Cormega, Foxy Brown, AZ, you know, and AZ was on the first album, of course. I mean, this album was crazy bananas. It was dope. I felt like this was better than Illmatic, personally. It Was Written to me was better than Illmatic. But to me, his best, Stillmatic is the best album he ever did to me. Stillmatic is the best album. And then you got Illmatic, man. I mean, I don't know what more I can say, man. I mean, Nas is in, you know, three of my top 10, man. I mean, you got the Life's a Bitch, Halftime, One Love, Represent, New York State of Mind, The World is Yours, Memory Lane, One Time for Your Mind, It Ain't Hard to Tell. I mean, you can't, nothing you skip. Nothing, man. Nothing. So right now we got Nas, Stillmatic, Illmatic, It Was Written, Non-Fiction, The Future Is Now, Rakim, The 18th Letter, Biggie Smalls, Notorious B.I.G., Life After Death, Wu-Tang, 36 Chambers, Jay-Z, The Blueprint. Now let me get to my top two. My second favorite album of all time. Fat Joe, Jealous One's Envy. I mean, what more can I say, man? First track, KRS-One, Bronx Tales, Envy, Fat Joe's in Town, King of New York, Fat Joe's Way, Watch Out, two versions of success, the premiere remix, Bronx Keep Creating It, Heart Deuce, This Shit Is Real, Respect Mine with Raekwon, Hustling Is the Key to Success, Money Is the Key to Sex, The Life of Getting Cash, Drinking Liquor, Smoking Sets, The Games People Play, The Names People Slay, Just Another Ordinary Day. I mean, blah, Respect Mine, There Go the Tech Nine. I mean, this album was crazy bananas. The production was crazy bananas. Fat Joe was just one of the best hardcore hip-hop artists you could ever hear, especially at this time. I was a big fan of DITC, and this is probably the best album to ever come out of Digging the Crates, in my opinion. That and maybe Diamond D's Stunts, Blunts, and Hip Hop, which I got to go back and listen to again, but it, you know, just probably didn't quite make my top 10. But, I mean, Fat Joe's Jealous Ones Envy. I mean, if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. It's my second favorite album of all time. You can't skip a record. The production is just crazy bananas. The energy is crazy bananas. I mean, there's no slacking on no song whatsoever. I think originally it was 4.5 from the source, and then got redone to 5 mics, but I give it 5 mics. You know. And my final top 10, number one album of all time. Let me pull up this track list before I give it to you. As a matter of fact, hit that like, share, or that click now, subscribe button in that right-hand corner, please. But to me, this is the best album of all time in hip-hop history. I will put this album up against any album. I've never heard an album as good as this album, as great as this album. It's the most phenomenal album I've ever heard from beginning to the end. And this comes from a cat that, not a street guy, not a gangster. I did commit some felonies when I was a juvenile, hanging out with some 25-year-olds. Never been a gangster, a real street guy, thug guy, nothing like that. But this is my number one album of all time. Mobb Deep, The Infamous. I mean, from beginning to end. I mean, if you pop in Mobb Deep, Infamous, and you skip a song, you just don't like hip-hop. You just probably like only trash artists. I mean, dirt artists, like artists that can't spit up. If you put in Mobb Deep, Infamous, and you skip one song, you basically only like artists that can't spit a bar or put out good music to save their life. That's what you like. Mobb Deep, Infamous is the greatest hip-hop album of all time, as far as I'm concerned. From beginning to end, every word, every lyric, every beat goes so well. The theme of the album just fits. It goes so well. Every beat, even the producers that come in and produce beats for them, like Q-Tip, the beat sounds just like The Infamous. It fits. Totally fits. Large Professor basically taught Havoc how to make beats, is what they say. And thank God he did, because he taught them well. I mean, it's literally, and I gotta actually go back and listen to a Megasaurus album, because they supposedly might have one of the greatest albums of all time. But Mobb Deep, Infamous, I mean, the start of your ending. It's the start of your fucking ending. Survival of the fittest. Temperatures rising, and it's not surprising. Trife life. Right back at you. From the cradle to the grave. Straight from the motherfucking cradle to the grave. Shook Ones Part 2. Eye for an eye. Give up the goods. Up North Trip. Oh my gosh. QU. Hectic. Queens is about to get hectic. Drink away the pain. Party's over. Tell the rest of the crew. Oh, I mean, like, this album is, it's phenomenal. It's the grittiest, grimiest street album of all times to me. It every beat is perfect, fits. Every word, every rhyme is just perfect. Like, they literally, like, and this is crazy. Mobb Deep's first album before this was really like it. Well, this is their first album. I think they had an EP before this. Juvenile Hell, I think, was the EP. Nobody was checking for Mobb Deep, dude. Mobb Deep wasn't even, nobody was checking for Mobb Deep. Nobody was, Mobb Deep, Juvenile Hell was far from a classic. Nobody's putting that in. And putting any songs on, you're skipping through the whole thing probably if you listen to it nowadays. You're probably skipping through the whole Juvenile Hell. And I think it's an EP. Let me look this up real quick. I got to make sure it's an EP. Because EPs back then technically weren't albums. Oh, it was an album. It was an album. But Mobb Deep Juvenile Hell was like, Siskel and Ebert gives it 2 thumbs down. So you talking about cats that just literally were done, looked like they was done and over with. Like, nah, they ain't really got it. They're okay, but they ain't got it. They're okay to average. And then they just come out with that second album, and it's like, wow. Amazing. And then Hell on Earth is, man, to be honest with you, I probably could go back and listen to Hell on Earth, and it might bump somebody out of my top 10. It might bump somebody out of my top 10. It might. It really might. But Nas, I mean, Mobb Deep Infamous is my number one all time. Fat Joe, Jealous Ones Envy. To be honest with you, if I had to say my number three on this list would probably be Nas, Stillmatic. Those are probably my top three all the time. Mobb Deep Infamous, Fat Joe, Jealous Ones Envy, Nas, Stillmatic. I mean, there's plenty of albums that, I mean, The Roots, They Fall Apart, that album was so amazing. You know, but it's so hard, man. It's almost so hard to really make a top 10. It's almost impossible. But as soon as you get to a song, as soon as I get to the point where I start skipping songs or a song, that's when I decide. How, you know, I start skipping more than one song, and it's like, probably not my top 10. But yeah, that's my top 10. Mobb Deep, Infamous, Fat Joe, Jealous Ones Envy, Nas, Stillmatic, Illmatic, It Was Written, Nonfiction, A Sleeper, The Future Is Now, Rakim, The 18th Letter, Notorious B.I.G., Life After Death, Wu-Tang, 36 Chambers, Jay-Z, The Blueprint. You know, I don't think anybody can argue that is a dope top 10 hip-hop list. If that's the only 10 hip-hop albums you had to listen to, I think you'd be good to go, man. If you listen to real hip-hop, I mean, I ain't talking about you listen to rap music, these rappers nowadays. You listen to real hip-hop music, if that was the only 10 albums you had, I think you'd be good to go, man. I think you got 7 days in a week and 10 albums, you'd be good to go. Once again, thank you for tuning in. Hit that click now, subscribe button in that right-hand corner. Hit that follow on Instagram, Facebook. Don't forget the audio version of my vlogs goes to my podcast, which is also available on Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Odyssey, CastBox, Deezer, iHeart, Player FM, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Stitcher, TuneIn, and more. Don't forget this podcast is, of course, also sponsored by Promo Palace LLC at PromoPalace.biz. For your online marketing promotions needs, go to PromoPalace.biz. Also, if you're a cat lover, dog lover, animal lover, go to NewLitter.com. T-shirts and hoodies. And also, check out the Dizzle. Once again, DizzleBrand.com. Follow them on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and more. Once again, I want to thank you all for tuning in. Paul Pickett, owner of Promo Palace LLC. This is Vlog 41, and this is my top 10 hip-hop albums. Thank you for tuning in. Peace, and I'm out.